and I apologize on behalf of Rabbi Schachter. Something came up. He wasn't able to make it tonight, so you're stuck with me. I think I know most of you, but for those who don't know me, I am Aryeh Leibowitz. I live not far from here, and a good friend of Rabbi Schachter, so he asked me to cover for him for this evening. So I was just working on something the other day, so I figured I'll share with you what I was working on the other day. The background is as follows. About 7 years ago, I was teaching not only in DRS, but also to post-high school Talmidim, post-Israel Talmidim, and one of the Talmidim came over to me and said, you know, we have like 10 minutes in between Mincha and when we have to run to Queens College to go to class, so we have like a 10-15 minute slot. Maybe you could like start a shiur in Halacha for like 10 or 15 minutes a day. So I said, I don't know, what can you do in 10 or 15 minutes a day, but you know, well, what kind of Halacha, what do you want to learn? So he said, we're just going to like give you topics that we think yeshiva boys should know about and we know nothing about. That these are things that are just like things that come up in our lives and that, you know, are issues that come up and we know nothing about these issues. So I said, okay, so I put a piece of paper on my shtender and the guys would write in topics. Now, Baruch Hashem, the topics are, we already have, I don't know how many, but a lot of topics have been covered. And what were the very first topics that the boys were interested in hearing about? That 19-year-old boys, 18, 19, 20-year-old boys want to know about and are curious about and are interested in halacha. See, by now I'm like reaching. I'm like, okay, what do they do with the grass that they cut out of the wall of the kotel? And you know, does it need geniza? You know, that's where I'm at now. But where were we 7 years ago? What were the first things they wanted to know about? So oddly, I think the first thing was kashrus of a microwave. Okay, let's leave that aside for now. The second, third, and fourth items on the list were, do you need to wear a jacket for davening? Do you need to wear a hat for davening? And do you need to wear a gartel for davening? Those were items 2, 3, and 4 on the list. So I figured maybe we'll talk about dress for davening. Which part of this is halacha, if any? Which part of this is minhag? And what are the reasons for the various practices that you'll see? You go into, you know, there are very few shuls that you go into and you see a wide variety of practice. Like, I remember when I was in Boca Raton, Florida, try to go every year. I have a sister that lives there, and they're kind enough to invite me to speak there usually. So when I go to the Boca Raton Synagogue, you will see people who park their car down the block on Shabbos morning, and you will see every once in a while someone walk in with a strimal or whatever. It's this amazing variety of people. But you see, in terms of dress for davening, it's like one of those defining things where you could just eyeball a different community and figure out their affiliation, so to speak, just by how people are dressing for davening. So what about this is halacha? Well, one thing is very clear, that there is a standard of dress for davening. For example, if one wanted to daven without a shirt on, that is not permissible. If one wanted to say Kriya Shema without a shirt on, it's Beferish Gemara, and Rashi makes the point of why this is, but it is permissible. I remember once I was I had a Talmud going back, I don't know, 16, 17 years ago, who had to ask a very serious shaila about an illness in his family and how to handle the situation, and he asked me to put him in touch with Rav Schachter Senior, with Rav Marin Rabin Rav Herschel Schachter, and so at the time, you know, I said I'll try to, you know, find a time where you can call him or go meet with him, and I happened to have seen Rav Schachter that night, and I said to him, there's this boy, he's got this difficult family situation, his father had Alzheimer's, it was a very, very terrible situation, and Rav Schachter said, okay, so let's make time that we can talk. What's his bedtime? He's a high school senior, what's his bedtime? It's whenever he wants his bedtime to be. So he said, okay, so next Motzei Shabbos, I think he said something like at 11:30, I'm available, so have him call me next Motzei Shabbos at 11:30. And I'm thinking, he doesn't have a free minute till next Motzei Shabbos at 11:30. Wow, that's a busy man. I said, Rebbe, I'm going to drive you home tonight. He was saying a shir in Shari Tefillah, where I was the assistant rabbi at the time. I said, I'll drive you home tonight. We'll call from the car. He said, oh, okay, that works too. So good. So I remember we called from the car, but the boy was taken by surprise because he wasn't expecting a phone call that night from Rav Schachter. So I called from the car. I had it on speaker, you know, no hands on the phone when you drive. So I said, You know, I said to the boy, I have Rav Schechter here in the car, you know, ready to talk. And the boy's reaction, I'll never forget, was, oh my God, let me put a shirt on. So it was understood that he wasn't going to talk to Rav Schechter, even though Rav Schechter couldn't see him, that he wasn't going to talk. They say that when Moshe used to call Rav Shlomo Zalman in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Shlomo Zalman would put on his jacket and stand up for the entire conversation. So that was a kavod that he would show. But for Kriya Shema, we're not actually talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we're talking about the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. Tefillah is talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam, beseeching the Ribbono Shel Olam. When you talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we are Omid Lefnei HaMelech, and the notion of Omid Lefnei HaMelech is certainly a notion that that the Rambam and Rashi both use to describe tefillah. We usually use that term in the context of the kavana one has to have for tefillah. This is the famous Reb Chaim where he describes how there are two elements of kavana in tefillah. There's the recognition that you're Omid Lefnei HaMelech, that you're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then there is the understanding of what exactly it is that you're saying. The first part is critical. It's simply not, Reb Chaim says, it's not even called tefillah if you don't realize that you're Omid Lefnei HaMelech. It's not that you're davening without kavana. It's not davening. It's saying words. It's reading practice. It's not tefillah if you don't realize that you're Omid Lefnei HaMelech. So that's normally the way we use that term. Omid Lefnei HaMelech has kavana in tefillah. But Omid Lefnei HaMelech is also a din in how we're supposed to approach tefillah physically, that how we're supposed to look, how we're supposed to appear during tefillah. So we're supposed to appear as Omid Lefnei HaMelech. But the Gemara gets into slightly more specifics than that. The Gemara gets more specific. Meaning one might say, well, if I talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam three times a day, so can't we drop the formalities already? If I'm really beseeching him like a poor person, when someone comes to my door collecting money, they're not wearing their finest. They're dafka not wearing their finest sometimes. You know, they want to look like a schlepper, like someone who's nebuch desperate. And that's fair that they want to look like that. Maybe that's the way I should appear in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Maybe I should dafka not have my finest clothing. So there's a sugi in Brachos on Dav Lamed Amud Beis. And the Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda was mekashet atzmo bebegadim noim. He would put on nice clothing and he would daven hishtachvel Hashem bahadras kodesh, that it should be with the greatest hidur, with the greatest. But then there's another sugya in Shabbos Daf Yud. So most people who started the Daf Yomi, you learn both of these Gemaras because it's before Erevin, it's the beginning of Shabbos. Shabbos Daf Yud. The Gemara tells us, Rava Barav Huna Rami Puzamki Umatzli. What does that mean? Says Rashi, he would put on these leg coverings when he would daven, a type of sack. And Omar Hikon Likros, he says, because one is supposed to get dressed up to greet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rava Shadi Glime. Rashi says, what does that mean? He would throw off his jacket. He would have to remove his jacket for davening. Says Rashi, Shelo Yira Kechashuv. He shouldn't come to the Ribbono Shel Olam looking like a chashuv, like to anything's magialo, like he's a person of stature. And then upachar yade, he would hold his fingers together during the tefillah. And Rashi says, ka'adama mitzta'er me'imas rabo, a person who's in a timid stance. You know, sometimes you see people when they're davening and they're getting passionate about their tefillah, it looks like they're having like a boxing match with the Ribbono Shel Olam. You know, they're waving and they're flailing and the timid stance is the stance that Rava was looking for. Then the Gemara, and he said, the reason I do this is Amar Ka'avda Kamemare. I want to look like an Eved. So I take off the jacket, carry myself with a very timid stance. Amar Ravashi, Chazina Leil Rav Kahana, he said, I saw that Rav Kahana had a different practice. Ki ika tsara bialma, shadi glima yupachar yadeo matzli. When it was a time of tsar in the world, he would take off the jacket, he would hold his hands together, you know, hunched over posture. Ka'avda Kamemare. Like an Eved. Ki ika shalma, but when there was shalom in the world, lavish, umuschasi, umusatef, umatzli. So then he would lavish, umuschasi, he would cover himself with multiple coverings, put on, his three-piece suit, and wrap himself up and daven. And he said, because you're going to greet the Ribbono Shel Olam, so you want to look like a, you want to look, b'derech kavod. So essentially, we have three different hanagos amongst the Amoraim. Some would dafka always want to dress up nicely. Some would dafka always not want to dress up nicely. And some would depend on the situation. Depends on, you know, whether it's a time of tsar or a time of simcha in the world. There's an interesting Ein Eliyahu on the Ein Yaakov where he suggests that maybe these three shitos align with the three shitos that appear in Maseches Brachos about Ein Omdin L'Spalel Ela. How do you finish that sentence? Ein Omdin L'Spalel Ela Mitoch. What's the context of one's tefillah? What should one be doing right before tefillah? So one of the brisos says, Kovid Rosh. A person should only daven Mitoch Kovid Rosh. He says that shita aligns with Rava. Take off the jacket, hold the hands like this, hunched over. That's Kovid Rosh. Then there's a brisum, brachos taf lamed aleph, ein omdin l'spalel, lo mitoch din, velo mitoch halacha, elo mitoch halacha psuka. That what should you be doing right before you're davening? Nothing that will get your mind too distracted. You're going to be learning a sugya bi'iyun, and you're going to be thinking about all the angles of the question and the answer. And what that's not a good idea. Right before davening, halacha psuka. You know, something, and halacha psuka daf yomi would count. A pashut learning, where you're covering ground, you're learning the material, but not a very involved kind of learning. Halacha psuka. That's the, I always tell this to my chassanim, because the Gemara goes on to say, my halacha psuka. What is a halacha psuka? So you would expect that the Gemara would say, oh, something straightforward, something that there's, you know, nothing to question. Lo sirtzach, right? Don't kill. Just don't kill. So that's pretty straightforward, right? Something like that. The Gemara says, no, my halacha psuka, Amar Bezeira, Benos Yisrael hechmiru al atzman, shafilu roz tipas dam kichardel, yosho salah shivinikiyim. The Rabbi Zeira reported that the Benos Yisrael had a chumrah that even though on a daraisa level a woman only needs to wait shivinikiyim if she sees for three consecutive days, one day after the other, three consecutive days of blood during the Yud Aleph Yom Shebe Nida Lenida, during the Yemei Ziva, only then does she actually require shivinikiyim. The Benos Yisrael took upon themselves a chumrah, a little drop of blood, shivinikiyim. That's the halacha psuka. Why does the Gemara give that as a halacha psuka? So I think what they say is that one could have said, where did this chumrah come from? The Benos Yisrael introduced this chumrah? By what authority? This is before we had women rabbis. By what authority did the Benos Yisrael have to introduce a halacha psuka? What was their authority to introduce that? So one might say, okay, so we can be mekel on this. We don't have to. Chazal Dafka wanted to make a point that this must be treated as a halacha psuka. And that's why in 1,000 years of literature, we don't have a single Rishon or Achron that uses this even as a sniff lahakel. Ah, anyway, it's only a Benos Yisrael. There's one tshuva in the Galia Masechta, but like, I mean, you really have to look to find anyone who even uses it as a sniff lahakel. So it's unbelievable. But anyway, that's a second approach. Now, that might be Rav Kahana. Be'ez Shalom, he's Mesatev. Be'ez Tzara, he's Mashlich Adarta. Why does that align with someone who adjusts based on time? So the Ein Eliyahu doesn't really explain, he doesn't flesh it out, but maybe it's saying that Halacha Psuka is, you know, a direct, clear analysis. Where are we right now? Is this a time of Tzar? Okay, let's act that way. Is this a time of Simcha? Let's act that way. No lumbus, you know, just deal with it. Then there's a Braisa. What is the mood one is supposed to be in when he davens? Elamitoch simcha shel mitzvah. That aligns very nicely with the shita that says that a person is supposed to daven with dressed up nicely, as if he's about to experience a simchas yamtiv. A person should be dressed nicely for his tefillah. These are the three shitos in poskim, but it's in the Gemara, but it's still somewhat vague. So what's required? Is this all, you know, is the very fact that there are three shitos a reflection of machlokas or a reflection of the fact that there's wiggle room over here? That all of these things are different hanhagos. So the Rambam sort of guides us. And the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillin Nesiyos Kapayim Perkei Halacha Hei writes as follows. Tikon ha-malbushim ketzad mesaken malbushav tchila umetzayin atzmo umahader. First of all, you have to make sure you look nice. A person shouldn't come to shul looking with his shirt untucked and with his, his buttons mismatched or whatever. A person should look nice for tefillah. He should be mesakein his malbushim. V'lo yamud b'tfila ba'pundaso, v'lo b'rosh magula, v'lo b'raglayim magulos, should also be dressed. He shouldn't have his legs exposed. He shouldn't have his head exposed. The Rambam writes, im derech anshei hamakom sh'lo yamdu b'fnei ha'gadolim ele b'batei raglayim. If that's the common practice when people meet gadolim. When people meet important people, how do they dress? So that's the standard the Rambam sets. Which is interesting. The Rambam sounds like if you live in a country where people meet important people wearing, with their legs exposed, wearing shorts. Sandalim. What? Sandalim or whatever, right, exactly. So then that would be okay. That's what it sounds like from the Rambam. It happens to be Tosos and Masech Shabbos, the Mordechai explicitly argue. They say, no, the only days you're ever allowed to be barefoot are Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Those are the only days there's a heter to daven without shoes because you're not allowed to wear shoes. But other than that, the Tosos and the Mordechai say, yeah, that's not up to minhag. But the Rambam seems like it's all, if that's the way you're omid b'fnei ha'gadolim. The Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim Simen Tzadi Chesiv Dalit, ro'i she'yilo malbushim no'im yuchadim l'tfila. The Shulchan Aruch says, you know, really, we should have like special nice clothing for davening, but we have to realize something historically about the Jewish people. There were many, many times in history where good segments of the Jewish population, due to laws of our host countries that inhibited us from being able to earn a living in many, many different sectors, the financial situation of the Jewish people was gefährlich. It was absolutely terrible. People were extremely poor in many, many different circumstances throughout the years. So the Shulchan Aruch says, I recognize really we should have some really nice clothing for tefillah, kigon bigdei kohuna. We should have things like the bigdei kohuna. Who can afford that? Not everyone can afford such a thing. So he says, Tov shilo mechnasayim yuchadim l'tfila mishum nekius. Make sure you have a clean pair of pants for davening. Make sure you have clean clothing to wear for davening. At least we should do that for nekius. Great. So that's in terms of the basic approach toward davening. Now, is there a difference between a shas shalom and a shas tzar? Do we actually hold of any such difference? So the Torah and the Ramah both actually quote that there is a difference between a shas shalom and a shas tzar. That you know, the question is, if you look in the Gemara, when the Gemara said that the one Rav Kahana who would adjust based on whether it was shas shalom or shas tzar, it said two things. I'm sorry, not Rav Kahana. The previous shita, the one that Rava, who would dafka want to look like an Eved Kamemare, so what did it say he would do? He would take off his jacket and pachar yadeh. So that idea of pachar yadeh is quoted by the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tefillah, and he makes no distinction about Shas Tzar and Nashas Tzar when he talks about pachar yadeh. He talks about dress, so he does mention the distinction. But pachar yadeh, he says, omed with umaniach yadav alibo kfusin hayumanis ala smolis, that hand over heart, right over left. That's what the Rambam writes. That's how a person is. Mistama, he's explaining Pachar Yadeh. So it's unclear why he doesn't distinguish between Shas Shalom and Shas Tzar. That seems like a posture of Shas Tzar. So Beis Yosef says maybe the Rambam understood that line in the Gemara was talking about regardless of what time it is, of whether it's a Shas Tzar or Shas Shalom, that to always be like that. What clothing you wear, that depends on Shas Shalom, Shas Tzar. The Taz has a different approach. The Taz thinks that the Rambam, when he says, put your right hand over your left hand, is not at all what the Gemara meant by Pachar Yadeh. What the Gemara meant by Pachar Yadeh, we don't do at all, the Taz writes. What the Gemara meant was to interlock your fingers. The Rambam doesn't talk about interlocking your fingers. And there's a significant literature in that I don't understand in Kabbalah about interlocking fingers. Yeah, for all sorts of things that they describe that happen when one interlocks their fingers. So if you look in those poskim that are more Kabbalistically inclined, certainly Sephardic poskim tend to be, with the exception of Rav Avadia, which is a pretty big exception, but still, so they tend to be Kabbalistically inclined. They talk a lot about this kind of thing. It's based on a Zohar in Parshas Vayikra that it brings down din. I remember as a child in camp, I think I was 9 years old, my parents sent me to sleepaway camp for 2 months when I was 8 years old for the first time. They just didn't like me. So when I was 9 years old, when I was in camp, my learning rebbe told us I guess a kid was into it, and he said, "No, you can't do that." And he really scared, he scared us pretty good about interlocking the fingers. Like, I didn't know any halachas, but I knew that you're not supposed to interlock your fingers. So that's like some Kabbalistic idea. So I still get the heebie-jeebies. I don't do it. I don't even know why. I think people do it, but okay. But so that's the idea that's quoted al pi Kabbalah. But that's what the Taz thinks the Gemara was talking about. That at a Shas Tzar, we express Tzar by interlocking the fingers. The Rambam doesn't think that's what we're supposed to do. The Rambam just says right hand over left. That's what the Rambam says. Okay, let's get down to practical things now. A hat. Where does a hat come from? So I remember when I was in Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, I learned in a Hezder Yeshiva, I learned in Keren B'Yavne, so the Yeshiva didn't wear a hat, but I was after the Rav Goldwicht had passed away already, so the Rashiva, the Rav Mati Greenberg, didn't wear a hat. The American Rebbeim wore hats, but it certainly wasn't expected of the boys to wear hats. So yeah, a couple of Shanabet boys who would. So I didn't wear a hat my whole time in Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and then so the fields. I remember someone commenting, "Wow, he came back and he didn't flip out." That was the thing. That has long since stopped. People don't flip out anymore, but because everyone has smartphones, so there's no loss of connectivity. So he didn't flip out, and he's safe because now I'm going to YU. So now I'm safe from the flip out. I remember my first Shabbos in YU. I stayed for Shabbos. It was the last time I stayed for Shabbos also in YU. I don't know. But I stayed for Shabbos. And I think there was a KBY Shabbaton there, like my first Shabbos home. And they gave me an aliyah in the Beis Medrash. And I was a bachur. I was not married. I was just back from a year and a half in Eretz Yisrael. And they gave me an aliyah and they said in the YU Beis Medrash, put the talis over your head. So again, I don't know many halachas, but don't interlock your fingers, and if you're a bachur, you don't put your talis over your head, right? These are the two things I know. So I said, I'm a bachur, I'm not married. They said, okay, put the talis over your head. I said, but you're not supposed to do that. They said, if you have a problem, take it up with Rav Shechter, put the talis over your head. So I took it up with Rav Shechter afterwards, and he said, for a Davar Shebekdusha, we think it's appropriate to have an Atifas HaRosh for a Davar Shebekdusha. So I said, what's the Davar Shebekdusha? He said, anything that needs a minion that's said responsively, Kaddish, Baruch Hu. So I said, what about all the Kaddishes and Baruch Hu's that I don't get an aliyah and I don't have a talis on? He said, So I went and I bought a hat. That was it. Why you got me to wear a black hat? So the what is the idea over here? Is there any such inyan to wear a hat? So most of the poskim don't talk about this Davar Shebekdusha idea. They talk about it in a completely different angle. The Aruch HaShulchan writes in Siman Sadi Aleph, "Ubimedinaseinu ein lispal af k'sharosh mechusa b'kisoy katan." Not enough to wear a yarmulke, he says. Rak b'inan kova kimo shaholchen baruchov. You need a hat like when you go on the street, and obviously you wear a hat when you go on the street. And he says, and a straw hat works too. Okay. Mishnah Brura, slightly different point of emphasis. Mishnah Brura and Siman Sadi Aleph, "Ubizmanenu tzarich lasim beis atvila kova barosho." Not enough to wear a yarmulke. Why? Ki ein derech lamud kein lifnei anashim chashuv. Because that's not the way you would stand in front of anashim chashuv. So Tzitz Eliezer points out in Chelik Yud Gimel, Siman Yud Gimel, these are two different comments. The Aruch HaShulchan is saying you have to base it on how you would walk in the street. Whereas the Mishnah Brura says how you would present yourself to anashim chashuvim. So Tzitz Eliezer argues that maybe a nafkamina would be whether you have to wear a hat nowadays. Because he said people walk in the streets without a hat, but people don't present themselves to anashim chashuvim without a hat. Is that true? I mean, if you go and you meet whoever you're impressed by. I was going to say, I don't want to get political, but apparently if you say the word president now, like half the room gets angry at you. So you go and you meet someone that's very, very important. So if you're wearing a fedora, it usually means that you're a platinum selling R&B artist or something. That's not something that regular people go and wear a fedora in front of. So that is that really a thing? That anashim chashuvim. So part of the issue over here, and Tzitz Eliezer, by the way, says anyway, probably you have to wear a hat because it's a nivus and it's kovid rosh and it's a special beged for tefillah, and he gives a whole bunch of other reasons. But l'chora, you come up empty if you're looking for a nashim, the way you walk in the street or a nashim chashuvim in our society nowadays. Unless you define anashim chashuvim differently. So Rav Sternbach in Shuvas Vanahagos, Chelik Aleph Simul Chavav, is faced with this this challenge. Can we really say that there's no obligation to wear a hat? He loses credentials in the Eid HaRedis, right? So he says, we have to define anashim chashuvim very carefully. He says, anashim chashuvim doesn't mean the politicians who have been influenced by the communists to make it like everybody's chaverim, and you have a picture of the most important politician wearing jeans on his ranch or whatever. Like, that's not anashim chashuvim. That's dafka people trying not to act like anashim chashuvim. But anashim chashuvim means when there used to be such a thing as anashim chashuvim, when there was a sense of formality in the world, when there was a sense of that it actually meant something, that these things meant something. So that's what anashim chashuvim means. So he says we can't allow the degradation of society to define chashivas for us. That's what his argument is in terms of anashim chashuvim. And I've heard this argument made by a number of people. Rav Belsky Zichron Levracha said, anashim chashuvim means how would you go to Rav Chaim Kanievsky if you met Rav Chaim Kanievsky? That's the definition of how you go in front of anashim chashuvim. And when you go to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, so a couple of things: you take off your wristwatch, you make sure you don't shave that day, and you you wear a hat because that's what you got to do when you. I remember Rav Schachter went with Etzias Vaikolo to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. He took off his watch before. He said he thinks it's a mishigas, but it's Rav Chaim's mishigas. You're on his turf. You have to abide by his rules. So
why the watch?
Why the watch? It's a great question. It's not abundantly clear. Yeah, but I mean, there are pictures with Rav Yashiv wearing a watch.
There's a God Lador, he said.
So he's allowed to wear Ben Yedisha?
He's a God Lador. He needs another watch. Otherwise, you don't wear a watch.
What does that mean? I don't know. Okay.
So I've seen people, I've gone to Boston just recently last summer, and they wear a hat to either one. You can go with summer, it's a hot day.
Bnei Brak, no air conditioning.
Didn't say a word about that.
Okay. Okay. Wow, you went with the ring. One of my balabatim went. He tells everybody you have to grow a beard. He says stop shaving. So the guy said my wife will kill me if I stop shaving. So he said just grow a little beard. he pushed. He said he's just got to grow a little beard. He told someone else, your wife is only going to get upset at you because she thinks that you're doing it because I told you to do it. Tell her you really want to do it, and then she'll support. Okay. Another guy, he said he also didn't like the new thing is you have paste behind your ears. So he said it's not so new. There were people that didn't like putting paste behind their ears, like you're embarrassed for your paste. So he said take the paste from behind your ears. Okay, so he took his pace out from behind his ears, and I guess the guy jumped the gun a little bit on the way out of his room. Before he left the room, he put his pace behind his ears. So Rav Chaim said, the bracha only lasts till the door also. But, okay, so how does one go in front of another? So mistama, I think it's safe to say that nowadays, if the geder is how you go in the street, or the geder is how you go in front of anashim chashuvim, certainly in American society, in Israeli society, there's ample room to say, granted that there are these poskim that suggest that the definition of anashim chashuvim is Rav Chaim Kanievsky, but there's ample room to say that there's no need for a hat anymore, at least in terms of that. There is this inyan of anivus and snius in covering one's head at certain times. The Torah writes in Simul Ches and Hilchus Tzitzis that after Netilas Yadayim, Yisatif B'Tzitzis Mu'umad, and then Mechasa Rosho Shaloye Begilu Yarosh, and be Mevarech L'Satif B'Tzitzis, and the Beis Yosef comments, Tava Sudar or Atalas Kederach HaTznuim, that this was assumed to be a manner of tznius. That's why people will put their Atalas over their heads for certain parts of davening, Kederach HaTznuim. Yeah, find a Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Chavtes, that Rav Chista said about Rav Huna. Rav Chista said to Rav Huna that Rav Hamnuna is an Adam Gadol. He said, yeah, he's such an Adam Gadol, let me meet him when he comes. And he came and he saw that he wasn't Paris Sudra, that he wasn't wearing a turban. So he said, why aren't you wearing a turban? They didn't have fedoras back then, it was turbans. So I guess everyone was like a makubal. So he said, I don't wear a turban because I'm not married yet. So he said, oh, well, and the Bachrim went Begilui Arosh. So apparently there was a coming of age of covering one's head, that was considered to be some sort of Derech Hatznius. What about a jacket? So the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Tefillah, Siman Tzadi Aleph, Sivav, writes, Derech HaChachamim V'Talmideihem Shelo Yispalalu Elek Shem Atufim. The Chachamim V'Talmideihem wrap themselves in something when they daven. Sounds like Chachamim V'Talmideihem, which would make sense why in yeshivas, you know, in many yeshivas they're very makbid about these things, even for people who, when they grow up, are not going to be so makbid about these things. Chachamim V'Talmideihem. Kaf HaChaim, though, explicitly says that it's not so. It's not only Chachamim V'Talmideihem, it's everybody. It's not just Chachamim V'Talmideihem. Where does it come from? So the Kaf HaChaim says, because the Gemara says, Lavish U'Mischasi U'Misatev. Lavish means Shar Malbushav, Mischasi means Beged Elyon, and Misatef means a talis. So a person should have both a jacket and a talis, says the Kaf HaChaim, a Beged Elyon plus a talis. However, Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Tefillah, Siman Tzadi Aleph, writes that is Od Amru Sham, the Aruch HaShulchan rather, it quotes a Gemara that, you know, our Gemara, that when there's tsar versus when there's simcha, when there's shalom, and the Aruch HaShulchan writes, V'lechein yesha medaktikim ata di'ikat tsara bi'alma lebli lispal l'mincha marav b'chol b'beged elyon u b'shabbos v'yom tov mispalin b'beged elyon. He says, the minhag I see is that only on Shabbos and Yom Tov if you wear a jacket, not during the week. Why? Well, the Gemara said, b'shas tsar, you take off the jacket. B'shas simcha, you wear a jacket. So Shas Simcha is Shabbos and Yom Tov, but the rest of the week, Nebuch, the way people had to live, was always considered to be a Shas Tzar. So that's a very fascinating idea, that maybe that's where the Minag develops, that during the week, people not so makbid, but on Shabbos, which is Shas Simcha, you know, almost like the, similar to the idea of not doing Birchas Kohanim during the week, because it's not enough of a Shas Simcha, people aren't feeling a sense of simcha. So there's no simcha during the week, only on Shabbos. Yeah?
So you see sometimes people wear a jacket, but it's an old, torn, it's the same jacket.
Good. So not only that, you'll often, and the same with the hat. I remember my kids go to yeshiva that requires them to wear a hat. My older two go to DRS, they don't require a hat and jacket. My younger kids go to yeshiva, requires a hat and jacket for davening for the bar mitzvah boys. And it's like a joke. I mean, what they do with the hats. I mean, the Hanhala had to really, my second son couldn't, they have to wear the hat at graduation. He couldn't. I mean, it had holes in it. Like, it was momish, like a joke. So that's obviously not appropriate, unless you're going for the Shas Tzar look, right? You're going for the desperate Meshulach look. But beyond that, there's a yeshivish practice that when you put on your tefillin, and you're wearing a jacket, so one arm is out of the sleeve and it's like buttoned down here like that, and it's hanging, the empty sleeve is hanging down. And by mincha, it's a big hassle to put arms in sleeves. So by mincha, they just drape the jacket over their shoulders. So is that acceptable for tefillah? So, right, it's hatifa. So is that an acceptable way to daven? So it happens to be that there are sources that explicitly discuss this practice that has developed. Rav Shechter writes in Mipnine Rabbeinu, the second of his three, how would you classify this genre of sefer, intellectual biography of Rav Soloveitchik. He writes on page Chav Gimel in Mipnine Rabbeinu that in Rav Soloveitchik's later years, he would wear a talis for shacharis and tefillin, but he wasn't wearing his jacket. And he always did earlier on in life, he always wore his jacket by that, and people couldn't figure it out. So they had all sorts of tirades to explain why Rav Soloveitchik doesn't wear a jacket, till one of the Rabbanim finally asked him, you know, I'm Denu Rabbeinu, you know, what's going on? Why don't you wear a jacket for davening? So he said in his later years, he apparently got a hold of or started wearing Reb Chaim's tefillin. That they had, maybe he got them fixed, or maybe whatever it was, he got Reb Chaim's tefillin. He said Reb Chaim's tefillin were enormous. So he couldn't fit his jacket sleeve over the tefillin. So he said, what are my options? I could not wear Reb Chaim's tefillin, but, you know, I'd rather wear Reb Chaim's tefillin. That's a pretty cool zechus to have, to wear Reb Chaim's tefillin. I don't think he used those words. He said, or I could leave my empty sleeve hanging by my side. He said, that's no way to talk to the Melech. That's no way to talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So my best option is just to not wear a jacket. That's a, you know, given those options, that's my best option. So he thought it was inappropriate to have a sleeve hanging down. Rav Shlomo Zalman in Halicha Shlomo is also quoted as saying, not appropriate to just hang the jacket over the shoulders. Who stands l'fnei Adam Gadol like that? He says that's not a way that a person is supposed to daven. I did see that in the Sefer Isha Yisrael. And by the way, Shmuel also, you know, it's that idea of just what guys do, what yeshiva guys do, doesn't mean that that's you know, with rabbinic approbation. That's just what they do. But it's not, you know, Rav Shmuel also says that he's seen people with gartels and the jacket is like tied up in the gartel and the sleeve is in the gartel. He said, who would stand that way in front of an Adam Gadol? But I did see in the Sefer Yishei Yisrael, which is like this encyclopedia on tefillah, they quote from Orchos Rabbeinu in the name of the Chazon Ish that a person could daven that way because it's considered to be darko bekach. That's the way that you wear those things, meaning the way the jacket is worn. When you're wearing tefillin, the best way the jacket is worn is to wear it with one sleeve out. And the Ribbono Shel Olam wants you to wear tefillin, so that's okay. Well, very often you could fit the jacket over the tefillin. You just have to not be lazy about it and have to try to do it. There's another potential reason to wear a jacket. There's a discussion in Poskim, this comes up a lot in the summertime, about wearing short sleeves for davening. So if a person's wearing short sleeves, so there may be a good reason to wear a jacket, because the Gemara Mishnah Megillah Daf Chav Dalid says that a pochech afal pisha pores al shema inu kari b'torah vein over l'fnei teva. What's a pochech? What's a pocheach? So Rashi says someone whose legs are exposed. The Rif and the Rambam say it means someone whose arms are exposed, that he shouldn't be a shliach tzibur. So apparently it's not the ideal form of dress for tefillah. One should try to cover their arms. There's a fascinating back and forth between Rav Vadi Yosef and one of the other Sephardi poskim, the Tshuvas Yaskel Avdi. Tshuvas Yaskel Avdi says if a person comes to shul with short sleeves, you should yell at him, tell him that that's not the way you're supposed to daven, and definitely don't let him be a shliach tzibur, because that's not kavirat tzibur. No one stands b'fnei gadol in that way, and Rav Vadia gets very upset by this. Rav Vadia says, what do you mean? People do that all the time. If someone's busy working on a construction site, doing whatever job he's doing, and he manages to carve out time for mincha, and he comes into shul, and he davens mincha, so he has to put on a jacket? Rav Vadia says, certainly, I don't see. He says, as long as the sleeve comes down to the elbow. He says, below the elbow, from the between the elbow and the wrist, is not mekomos hamechusim shebeguf. So there are a few nafkaminas, what we call makamas hamachusim shabagof. Most notably for men, at least, is if you touch it, you don't require netilas yadayim. That there's this requirement to wash your hands if you touch dirty, sweaty parts of the body that are normally covered. But below the elbow is not makamas hamachusim shabagof. And he says, if you look at the Gemara, it says that he's not supposed to be over lefnei ateva. Okay, so you don't want to have him be the shliach tzibur. Rav Avadia says, Anitama sha'afilu l'dvarv ma ra'al lahakbir al yechidim shabayim l'espalil v'shabayim tzar. He said, why would you be makbir on yechidim? It's one thing to say over l'fnei ateva, not to daven for an amud. But that's why you have a lot of shuls that have hakpada like that also. Sometimes people get very upset that a shul will say, if you daven for an amud, so then you have to put on a jacket or something. And people are like, why do I have to put on a jacket? What's the... So there is this idea that there's a kavarat tzibur element. So kavarat tzibur is certainly a talis is helpful for kavanat tzibur, but you can understand that there might be standards of kavanat tzibur. And if you're a visitor at a shul, in any shul, you should respect whatever the minhagim are in that shul, and it's not something to make us think about in someone else's shul. You could choose to join a different shul, but yeah. That's great. Wow. So the imam wanted to keep the tzura of the tefillah. But the imam had pants there. Wow. It reminds me, we used to take the Talmidim, the 11th graders, to Lakewood on the way to paintball or something. So we stopped at Rav Matisyahu Solomon's house, and he would speak to the boys. And at the door of Rav Matisyahu Solomon's house, Mashkiach in Lakewood, he has a housekeeper that works in the house. There's like a a uniform that she puts on so that she'll be tzenua when she's working in the house. We saw her leaving. We saw her take off the uniform, hang it up, and walk out of the house in her whatever jeans and t-shirt or whatever. But in the house, that she had to be tzenua.
Do you have to roll your sleeve over your tefillin in the morning to cover your arm, or is the tefillin
Is tefillin considered covering of the arm? I don't think it's not considered covering, but you should at least roll it down to the elbow.
Pull it over the bias.
Yeah, to the extent possible. The current style of shirt is one that makes it more and more difficult. Now the fitted shirts are all the so everything has to be tight. So it's I don't know, but yeah, maybe you should get hand-me-downs from yesteryear. Yeah. The Aruch HaShulchan also talks about not all jackets are created equal, meaning is a winter coat a respectable way to daven? So the Aruch HaShulchan says, yeah, because Derech Shaholich Berechov, and when it's cold out, you go in the street, you're not embarrassed to go in the street in a winter coat. L'chaora, this is an afkamina meeting between the Aruch HaShulchan and Mishnah Berurah. If you say the way you would stand b'fnei gedolim, so people would stand in the freezing cold without, you know, all the things that will protect them from the cold, if it's a chance to meet Gedolim, if that's the way that they're going to present themselves to Gedolim. They don't want to be remembered as the guy in the, you know, in the puffy coat and the earmuffs, you know, when he met the president or whatever. They want to be remembered. They want to look presentable, even if it requires a little bit of suffering. What about the gartel? So we're not going to have much time to talk about the gartel. I don't think it's probably not so nagea unless someone has a strong family minhag. But there's a Gemara in Shabbos in Daf Yud that tells us that Rabbi Chanina, when he was matir chagurasa, once he undid his belt to eat, he wouldn't stop his su'uda to daven anymore because he was already undid his belt. So the Gemara says, why can't he just daven with his belt undone? So the Gemara says, because it says Hikol Nekrasa L'Kach Yisrael, that you're supposed to pull yourself together to daven, so you can't daven with your belt undone. So the Rosh writes in Simen Yotes that there's two inyanim over here. There's an inyan of Libo Roas Ha'erva, that there needs to be something mafsik between the heart and the erva, so you need something that's tight around the body in between the lev and the erva. But then there's a kiyum of doing something to prepare yourself to talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam. In the Sefer Tefillah Kilchasa, Perek Zayin, he writes, Roy lahakbich al kolpanim tir chaguru mushchalos b'mechnasayim v'shiyum mechnasayim chadukum l'guf masnayim u'bevadei shehidr mitzvah lachkor chaguru miyuchadas. He says it's a hidr mitzvah to have a gartel. It's a very nice hidr mitzvah. Now, the idea of wearing something special for davening, one could argue that, okay, as long as you're doing it special for davening, whether that's the style or the way you would present yourself to gedolim or not, or one could argue, no, that would make sense if, you know, that was the way you would present yourself to Gedolim. But now the Hidr would be something that would enhance your appearance the way you would present yourself to Gedolim. Rav Shechter always comments, he was once in a shul, he said that a guy from a Hasidish background didn't have his gartel with him. And he didn't know what to do, and he had his tie, so he took off his tie, and he tied it around his belt like a gartel. So it's a greater kiyum to wear a tie. That's the way you would present yourself in front of Gedolim. He thought it was silly to take off the tie and use it instead as a gartel. There is discussion about, but you understand that the idea it's based in a Gemara, but the posts can pretty much all say that, and even the Mishnah Berurah and Rav Sturmbach has a long tshuva describing why he doesn't think it's necessary. So to make a long story short, what we're supposed to do is be as respectable as we can when it comes to tefillah, both in the way that we carry ourselves and in the way that we dress for davening. It should reflect that we're taking it somewhat seriously. It can be a little annoying, you know, you're in the park with your kids all day on a Sunday or something, so you're not. It's much easier to just go to shul that way. But the appropriate way the person should dress for tefillah is to at least be, as the Shulchan Aruch says, clean and respectable, even though we can't all afford the most expensive clothing, but to be clean and respectable in the way a person presents himself for tefillah. In the order of priorities, you would think, if you want to take any of these things, that jacket would be the first one, then hat, then gartel, if you're so inclined to dress that way for tefillah. Again, I apologize on behalf of Rabbi Shechter. I thank you for tolerating me for this evening.